Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Wisconsin forests are among our most important resources, and on the show today we're going to talk about some of the ways they are managed. A couple of guests for you. One guest is Chuck Lavelle, the keyboardist and musical director for the Rolling Stones. But more importantly for our conversation today, he's a longtime forestry advocate, conservationist, tree farmer, and now host of America's Forests with Chuck Lavelle. And the music you're hearing in the background is an original song by Chuck, and it's music from the show. Chuck Lavelle, welcome. Thanks for being with us today.
Hello, Larry, and what a great pleasure to be with you, man. Thanks for inviting me on, and I certainly look forward to the discussion today.
Yeah, I do as well. Heather Berkland is also part of that discussion. She's the newly appointed chief forester for the Wisconsin DNR. Previously, she led the public and private lands program, a good neighbor authority partnership coordination, the forest certification, tax law, and fire protection programs. And Heather Berkland, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad for this opportunity.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's good to have you with us, too. And I hope as you listen to these two talk, that you will join in with your comments and questions about forest management. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Chuck, let's start with you. How did you become interested in conservation and forestry in particular?
Larry, it's all my wife's fault. my wife, Rose Lane, and I, by the way, we're celebrating 47 years of marriage this year. So we've been together a very long time, have a great partnership. Rose Lane's family has been connected to the land for generations, literally, as good stewards, either tending row crops or tending cattle, and also tending forest land. So her family has been doing this for a long, long time. And in 1981, she inherited some land from her grandmother, and it became our responsibility to carry on what we saw as a heritage of stewardship of the land. Now, row cropping, cattle farming, and some of the other activities just look to be too much day-to-day for us, especially considering that I wanted to pursue my musical career. And forestry came into the discussion, and that just absolutely fit the bill. Long-term sustainable forestry. Here in the South, we grow what's generally known as southern yellow pine, various species of pine that is used for pulp wood to make packaging products and paper products, of course, lumber to build people's homes, schools, and churches and offices and so forth. And of course, as we know, these trees sequester carbon. They clean our air and they clean our water. They provide home and shelter to all manner of wildlife. So I began to study forestry, and we began to plant trees on our place and to manage our forest land. And we've been practicing that ever since. And just as a short piece of background, I did take a correspondence course in forestry in the mid-80s to get myself up to speed on how to do these things properly. So that's the background.
No, it's really a great background. Thank you. Heather, congratulations on your new position. What's the purpose of Wisconsin State Forestry Program?
Well, Larry, we have a long legacy in the state of Wisconsin in practicing sustainable forestry. And really, it's about working in partnerships to protect and sustainably manage our dynamic forest ecosystems, and really to meet the social, cultural, ecological, and economic needs for the citizens today and for the future. So I really think this opportunity for Chuck and others to educate themselves on the importance of our forest ecosystems and what forestry brings to our public is just great. And this opportunity for the America's Forests program really showcases all the great collaborative work that we are doing here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Chuck, maybe you tell us about your show, America's Forest, with Chuck Lavelle.
Well, thanks for asking. And this is a concept that had been running around my head for many years. The original idea was to have something called Love of the Land and to explore people that are doing various things on their land. And then I had a discussion with my friend and partner, Bruce Ward, at one point. And Bruce said, you know, you're known more as being a tree man, you know, as running your own forest land. Why don't you focus a little bit more on that with the program, and I'll explore it with you, and we'll see what we can do. So through Bruce's efforts and, of course, Kate Rice, our incredible producer, director, we put the team together. And lo and behold, we started to get some funding, and we have now shot 6 episodes. And, of course, the show runs on PBS, select PBS networks, I should say. And the interest is growing, the demographics are growing, and our hope is to get a full series for the program. I absolutely love doing the program. There is no shortage of content when we're talking about America's forests. And we were just elated and excited to do the episodes. We had 2 episodes shot in Wisconsin. We kind of divided it into north and south. And I was just fascinated with the forestry, the fine management of forest that goes on in Wisconsin. And Heather, it's great to be with you. And as Larry said, congratulations on your new position. And let me just throw into the mix that in our Wisconsin episodes, of course, Wisconsin is Harley-Davidson country, and Harley very graciously loaned us a beautiful soft-tail bike, and I was able to use that thing during the course of the shooting of both episodes, and so we made it kind of a fun road trip, if you will, so where I would show up to these various locations on the bike, get off the bike, and then engage with all the different segments that we did. It was so much fun, I can't tell you.
I tell you, and I've been fortunate enough to see both episodes, and I absolutely love them. It was so much fun. And I, you know, I've been in Wisconsin my whole life, and I know a lot about the state. But I learned some things in the show, and I really had fun listening and learning, and just enjoyed it. Really a lot. I should mention the Nelson Institute, the Wisconsin episodes are kind of an inspiration for the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies at the UW-Madison. They're going to hold a virtual premiere event on Wednesday, October 21st, which is tomorrow, from 6:30 to 7:30. How can people watch that? I believe we have a link in our program notes at the Larry Mueller Show, but it's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yes, and thanks for letting the folks know this. I wish I could tell you whether it's going to be streamed or whether it's actually going to be shown on the PBS station. I'm actually not quite sure on that. So maybe I'm not sure if Heather knows, or we may get some information during the course of the show that will give us specifically how they're going to do that. But I'm very excited about doing it. And again, we had so much fun, both North and South episodes.
Roger in Springstead has something to add to the show here. Roger, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to comment on Heather. I've done business with her over the years, and she's a really common sense person with, you know, when she was working up in Mercer. And I just wanted to comment on that. But maybe she could comment, maybe they could comment on this forest fragmentation that's taking place in this state. It's, I have been in the business for 40 years with my brother, and I just see so many places that are just chewed up by housing and how hard it's going to be to manage any of this timberland anymore because of it.
Well, Roger, thank you for calling. Heather, I'll let you have a chance to chime in, and maybe Chuck as well. Heather?
Sure, great. Well, Roger, thank you so much for the kind words. And yes, much of the joy in my career had been working with private landowners all across the Northwoods. So really appreciate the kind words. And that is one of the concerns and one of our focuses in Wisconsin, and where we see kind of the division as a niche in partnering. Private landowners own nearly 60% of the forest land in Wisconsin. So it's important that we are engaged with them in kind of what their goals are, long-term management, keeping forests in forest to make sure that we aren't converting and that we have a forest resource for many years to come. And so there are programs that we have, our tax law program, managed forest law program, that gives tax breaks to landowners to manage their woodland. We also are involved with conservation easement programs to try and retain large blocks of timberland. So definitely something that is important so that we have that long-term sustainable health and a robust forest landscape for years to come.
Yeah. Chuck, do you have a word or a comment?
Well, yes. You know, I did my best to address this issue in a book that I wrote called Growing a Better America, Smart, Strong, and Sustainable. And in the book, we talk about how, you know, metropolitan areas are a good thing. You know, if you have a concentration of the population in metropolitan areas with good, sound educational, you know, schools in the right place, smart transportation, areas where people can enjoy walking and being in the outdoors and parks and so forth. And that allows us to do our best to keep some of these natural lands natural in a natural state. Now, look, you know, our population has been growing since European settlement, and it's going to continue to grow. I think at present we have, what is it, over 360 million people in our country. And this is not just a issue with the United States. I mean, this is an issue all over the world where populations continue to grow and grow and grow. So if we're going to grow, the point of my book is let's find ways that we can grow better, smarter, stronger, and in a sustainable fashion. Hopefully we can do that. You know, I believe we have, if we get the right policies in place, the right leadership in place, I believe we can address these things.
Thanks, Roger. Again, Willem in Colfax will give you a chance. Hi, Willem.
Hi. I was wondering if you could talk about, you know, the importance of a diverse forest as opposed to like a tree farm. And also the Menominee Reservation has a, you know, world famous forest, which I encourage anyone to take a drive through if you have the chance. It's fantastically beautiful place. And to Chuck, thanks for your great work with the Allman Brothers, especially Brothers and Sisters album. I really appreciate that.
and Chuck, as a matter of fact, you feature the Menominee Reservation in one of the one of your two programs highlighting Wisconsin.
We did indeed, and I was just absolutely fascinated with their incredible a sustainable approach that they have had through eons of time, really. I wish more people would look at their example and manage their forest in a way similar to the way that they do. It really is a fantastic model, and I hope people will chime in to that program and see the segment that we did with the Menominee. In terms of natural forest, diverse forest versus tree farms, the fact is we need both, okay? You know, we need natural forests that remain in that kind of a state, and our national forests, our national parks, wildlife refugees and other protected places. And we also need working forests where we can grow the kind of timber that we need to make the products. Look, you know, let's face it, wood is natural, organic, sustainable, and renewable. And there's no better building material, in my opinion, than is wood. And we need those types of forests to produce that type of wood. But I wholeheartedly agree that we also need more natural and diverse forests in our landscape. One of the first episode that we did for America's Forest was done in Oregon, and it exposed a new technique, relatively new technique, called CLT, cross-laminated timber. And this technique, without going into all the details, allows us to build multi-storied buildings. You know, these days I think we're going to 15 stories and even beyond using this very strong laminated material. You think about beautiful buildings, the feeling that you get when you walk into a building that is made of wood, to see that beautiful grain, combine it with some glass perhaps, and so you just get an absolutely gorgeous architectural design. That wood is still sequestering carbon as it stands. When you think of, you know, the comparison of a building that's made of steel and concrete, not to be knocking steel and concrete, but they cause a lot more pollution to create those materials. And this CLT material is stronger, actually, proven stronger through the tests that have been done than steel is. And it's, again, just such a more natural product to use. So, you know, I think it's important that we strike a balance between forests that provide us with certain types of wood and forests that give us a more natural state.
And thanks again for calling. Chuck Lavelle, our guest, one of our guests today, host of America's Forests with Chuck Lavelle. Heather Berkland, our other guest, the newly appointed chief forester for the Wisconsin DNR. They are going to be with us for another 20 minutes at least, and I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer, Tyler Ditter, our engineer, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at Wisconsin's forests today and talking about a new program. It is titled America's Forests with Chuck Lavelle. Chuck is one of our guests today. The other guest, Heather Berkland, newly appointed chief forester for the Wisconsin DNR. Great to have them both with us today to talk about our forests and to talk about that show, which is fantastic. I've had a chance to see the two Wisconsin programs, and they're great. Ron in Madison has a comment. Let's go there. Ron, hello.
Thanks. Several ideas, starting with the DNR forest seedling tree nurseries. We've got to get seeds from hundreds of miles south, perhaps 400 to 700 miles south. Years ago, a group published a map showing Wisconsin had moved to Arkansas, illustrating that the climate is shifting. And in the last decade or so, the accelerating climate chaos indicates Arkansas is going to get here centuries earlier than they used to think it would get here. Specifically, black walnut, all the hickories, including pecan, butternuts, if you can find one that's resistant to the disease, all of the oaks, bald cypress, sweet gum, black gum, all of the heavy-seeded trees need human help. Except for EF 4 and 5 tornadoes, they can't move more than a few yards. Squirrels might move them, but less than a quarter of a mile, probably. So we've got to bring the seeds up here. We need fewer clones of most of the species of trees and more seedlings from diverse sources. We need to bring shortleaf pine seed from Missouri. We need lolly pines from Arkansas. Initially, In northern Wisconsin, I recommend planting every third row in a pine plantation to white pine, but from seed source at the very southern end of the white pine range. Plant one-third of the rows red pine from similar southern sources, and every third row could be shortleaf pine with a mixture of seeds from all over Missouri and other places where it grows.
Well, let's see what our guests have to say. Heather Berkland, let's go to you. Hi, Heather.
Hi. Well, I appreciate that. We do have a robust reforestation program since 1911 and for the state of Wisconsin. And since then, we've supplied Wisconsin landowners with high-quality native seedlings in our state nurseries. Right now, the Wilson State Nursery in Boscobel is processing and taking seedling orders. And to your point, yes, it's part of us looking long-term at kind of the changing climate and how our species are going to adapt and how we're going to mitigate some of the impacts to climate and how our environment might change. We do have a tree improvement program as well that's really testing the adaptability and how we can improve growth and build resistance in several of our native species, including red, white, and jack pine, black walnut, butternut, and red oak, and continuing to look at how we can maintain a seed source for native species. And as we look to species change and to the previous caller's point of making sure that we do have diverse species for the future to keep our forest healthy.
Yeah. Chuck, a comment from you?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm glad the caller brought up climate change, because this applies not only to Wisconsin, but to all the states across the board. I think most of us that have any degree of common sense realize that this is a reality. Climate is changing and will continue to change. My hope is that we get back on track with some good policy to help us mitigate climate change. We're not going to wave a wand and make it go away, but hopefully we can find ways to mitigate it, to make some changes in the landscape and find more adaptability of species. We've seen, look, here in Georgia last year and the year before, we broke records for most days in the 90s, most days in the triple digits. We had a drought in 2019. I lost a lot of hardwoods in that drought, as well as pine. And, you know, it really breaks my heart to go through my forest and to see the effects of climate change. And, of course, what happens is with the intense heat and the lack of rain, then you get insect infestations. And that's what usually happens. And we've seen this. Wow, we've seen it in all parts of our country, and heavens to Betsy, we all have seen what's happening to the fires in the West. I mean, it's just devastating. And this is a real issue that needs real answers. But adaptability, what the caller is really pointing to, that is certainly something we all need to look at and to be aware of and to start studying and to find more adaptable species.
Chuck, before we take another call, we have lots of callers online. I wanted you described a little bit the two shows where the first episode of the Wisconsin show is in northern Wisconsin. The second is in the southern part. They both obviously relate to forests and trees, but they're different shows. So maybe explain a little bit more about what's in those programs.
Absolutely. Well, we went through the glorious Northwoods of Wisconsin. We did a segment on the Job Corps. The U.S. Forest Service had some young people through the Job Corps program cleaning up around a cabin that we visited and planting some shrubbery and planting trees in the area. We visited John Steigerwalt, who is a third-generation tree farmer in Tomahawk, and we talked about the ruffed grouse. He has a particular passion for ruffed grouse, and We had a Lumberjill segment, which was a lot of fun. Kate Wiskowski, who is a genuine Lumberjill, schooled me on how to, schooled me on how to do the hatchet throwing, and we had fun with that segment. And we also cut down a log for future rough grouse use. That was neat. We already talked about the Menominee Forest. We went through that, did a segment with them. And I also would like to mention Wayne Fernandez, who is a really fine Menominee musician playing flute and guitar, and we had a little jam session with Wade. That was a lot of fun. On the Wisconsin South, we did a segment where I actually worked in Milwaukee with the city forestry crew to cut down an old elm that had died with Dutch elm disease. We went to the wood cycle to see how special old trees from our streets and backyards are being turned into heirloom furniture. That was fascinating. Instead of having these trees just go to a landfill, this fellow takes them and makes absolutely gorgeous furniture out of these trees that would otherwise just go to waste. That I really enjoyed that part of the episode. We did the Forest Products Lab, which was another fascinating thing where you test the strength of various species of wood and do all kind of research in the products laboratory. And the use of nanotechnology there, it was just incredible. And then, of course, we visited Aldo Leopold Foundation, and we had a little float down the Wisconsin River with Buddy Huffaker, who is the executive director of the Leopold Foundation. And we had a fun little segment for Log a Load for Kids at a school in Suamico. And it was fascinating because the school uses the grounds outside the school as a sort of a mini forestry school. And they have activities there a couple of times a year to get the kids outdoors, show them, the equipment that's used to harvest trees, just talk about sustainable forestry and so forth. So, and by the way, the proceeds for the Log a Load for Kids went to local hospitals there. And so, that just gives an example of how wonderful Wisconsin is doing, north and south, in managing their forests and, and having these incredible facilities and programs to keep things going in the right direction. I can't say enough about it.
Yeah. Let's take another call. Lauren in Blair will go to you now. Hi, Lauren. Oh, we lost Lauren. Let's go to Steve in Langlade County. Steve, hello.
Hey, thank you. Hi, Chuck, Heather, and Larry. Hey, it was nice you mentioned the Menominee Nation. Just upriver from there earlier this summer, we actually had exploratory drilling going on managed forest law land in Wisconsin. And that does not seem right. We shouldn't be doing metallic sulfide mining exploration on these beautiful forests. What happens is these big investment forest landowners come in and they buy up a lot of land and then they exploit our laws. So I'd like to see an end to that. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Steve, for calling. Heather, you want to make a comment?
There are the laws and permitting processes in place, and we in the department, recognize the balance between the private business ownership and public management in the complementary ways that we need to work together. So do recognize concerns, but also know that our department works under the specific laws and permitting processes.
Let's go to Anthony in Germantown next. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, I was curious. I'm a younger guy, just moved out with my parents, and I've been incredibly interested in the whole food forest, restoration, agriculture sort of stuff. But there's no land in my family, and I don't have enough to go to college to sort of get that hands-on experience that you would get restoring the land in that sort of way. And I was wondering what steps or what places I could reach out to or people I could reach out to try to get my hands in the dirt, plant some trees, and help restore the land in that sort of way. Especially the agriculture side interests me, because a lot of big ag stuff is a main attacker of our local state forests. So I was just wondering what sort of things I could do.
Hmm. Well, Heather, do you have any advice? And we'll ask Chuck as well, but Heather first.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I love the enthusiasm. And I'm hoping we have more folks out there that want to get engaged and find ways to get their hands dirty and, you know, help in moving our forestry in whatever aspect. You know, I would probably start with the UW Extension. They have lots of opportunities on kind of long-term kind of planning, how to connect people with, public properties, private entities. And then also the Aldo Leopold Foundation would be a good starting point as well.
Yeah, I think that would be a very good place as well. And your county extension offices, Anthony, probably provide some help as well. Chuck, any comment from you?
Well, I think, Heather, in terms of the local level and throughout the state of Wisconsin, those were great comments. On a wider and broader spectrum, certainly the Arbor Day Foundation is something worth exploring. They have a great website, and you can do some volunteer work to plant trees through the Arbor Day program. The American Forest Foundation, and under their umbrella is an organization called the American Tree Farm System. So either one of those, if you Google them up and go through their websites, they have some absolutely great information. And the tree farm system, they break it down into regions and into states. And every state has an American Tree Farm System program. So those would be worth looking into as well.
Yeah. Eric in Oneida County, well, your turn now. Hi, Eric.
Hello, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. I want to thank Heather and Chuck for being on. I want to follow up with one of the previous callers about the metallic sulfide mining exploration that's allowed on managed forest land. And I know Heather covered the legality of it, but I was wondering if they might have a more of a philosophical position on what promoting mining in forested areas and forested lands would accomplish. My concern would kind of be, are we looking at turning our sustainable forestry industry in the Northwoods into a unsustainable mining industry? So maybe they might know of where these two things can coexist, but we kind of feel up here that, you know, the lumber industry is important and the mining industry, obviously unsustainable, would be a problem coexisting.
Heather, you want to chime in?
Yeah, you know, I really just want to highlight that we, you know, the importance of wanting to make sure that we continue with sustainably managing our forests. And that is definitely our niche in partnering with the many entities. So I would rather sustain from kind of a larger division of forestry, Department of Natural Resources response, but really that our mission is to work in that partnership for long-term sustainable forestry. And, I want to piggyback a little bit on what Chuck had said earlier, and I just think these two episodes showcasing forestry in Wisconsin really showcases the complementary suite of what forestry and forest products brings to Wisconsin. So great job, Chuck, and I really appreciate being able to be proud of what Wisconsin brings. And then also just want to put a plug in, because this week, what a great opportunity to roll this out, because it is Forest Products Week for
That's
across
right.
the nation. Yes, and really recognizing that the forest products industry is a huge contributor to Wisconsin's economy at over $24 billion annually and more than 60,000 jobs. And I think the episode two, where you showcase the forest products lab and all the innovative ways that we are researching and finding uses for wood, is just going to be super important going forward into the future.
I would agree. Chuck, any comment?
Well, your caller touches on something that is a sticky subject, and I certainly appreciate it. He asked for an answer concerning philosophical feelings about it. And personally, you know, I would like to see some of the laws strengthened that have to do with mining operations and things like pipelines that go through forest and through other sensitive lands. These can sometimes be dangerous practices. You know, perhaps there is a need for those types of things. But personally, I would like to see us as a country be more sensitive to these issues and try to strengthen the laws that we have to make sure that if these practices do go down, that they're highly regulated and looked at very closely with a microscope.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to mention again that the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies at the University of Wisconsin will host a virtual premiere event on Wednesday. It's tomorrow night from 6:30 to 7:30. And we have a link, if you go to the Larry Mueller Show, we have a link in our program notes that will get you to that event. And you can watch these fabulous productions segments on Wisconsin forests and Wisconsin forestry. I would certainly echo Heather in saying that they are, it's eye-opening, the value in so many ways of our forest land to the state. And Chuck and Heather, I want to thank you both very much for taking time to be with us today. It was a real pleasure talking with you both. Chuck, you've got a great series going there, and I appreciate your time very much, too.
Oh, Larry, it was a joy. And if I may just let your listeners know that the other four episodes that have already aired can be viewed on our website, which is www.americasforestwithchucklavelle.com.
Americasforestwithchucklavelle.com. Chuck, thanks again. Heather Berkman, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry. And I'll just say that if you go to the dnr.wisconsin.gov website and type in forestry, it'll take you to all of the programs that we work on and partner with, can get you to tree planting, connect you with a natural resources professional to help talk through managing your properties, talk about fire and all the urban forestry, and again, partnerships with our county and tribe. So really appreciate the opportunity to be here. Hope listeners tune in to the panel tomorrow night and tune into the episodes and really learn something new and, you know, spread the word about how great trees are and the forest industry in Wisconsin is. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Heather, and thanks, Chuck. Chuck Lavelle is host of America's Forest with Chuck Lavelle, and I hope you have a chance to take a look at it. It's a wonderful, wonderful program. Heather Berkland, congrats again to her. She's the newly appointed chief forester for the Wisconsin DNR. Coming up, we're going to take switch gears entirely and talk with you about autism, children with autism, and their families. That coming up next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.